So Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bible, I'd like to ask you and join me as we make our confession together here this morning. Romans chapter 8, as we go into the message here. And the words on the screen, for those of you who are streaming, we invite you to follow along with us. If you believe it, then let's confess it. All right, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter, y'all sounded great, by the way. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I want to read this verse here, and then we'll read some surrounding verses here, God willing, in these next few moments. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The word of God says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Can any of you raise your hand to say, I've had a season or maybe seasons in my life where it just seems like life is crazy? I don't know, maybe almost unanimous. Life seems crazy. And I won't even ask this. I'm sure if you're of any age, you've experienced a season or maybe seasons in which you were hurting. And even like that song we sang a few moments ago where it says, "When my world falls down." Have you ever had that sense that you feel like your world is absolutely falling apart? Well, in those moments when life seems crazy, we're hurting, it seems like our world is falling apart, here's really the essence of what I would hope to share this morning. Let's pause. Focus on Jesus. That makes all the difference. Let's pause, focus on Jesus, and trust God for his purposes. Pause, focus on Jesus, and trust God for his purposes. That's simply the title of the message this morning, Trust God for his purposes. I shared a message on this about 3 weeks ago now, I believe it's been, and I just wanted to share a concluding thought, bringing some context to that. Trust God for his purposes. Again, the primary verse here, verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good. One of the reasons I'm so thankful for God's word is it reveals a true perspective, because we can't see everything with human eyes. We don't know everything with our limited human knowledge. We do not have all knowledge, and we do not see the full picture. We see, as the scripture says, like through a glass dimly. But one sees all. The great I am. And he reveals to us a true perspective because he wants us to live with hope right in the middle of our present sufferings when life seems crazy or we're hurting or it seems like our world is falling apart. God is not falling apart. And by his grace, we're not going to fall apart. So trust God for his purposes. I want to back up a little bit to verse 14 in this chapter. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, just kind of get the flow going to that verse. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or the children of God." See, it is possible to be Christian in name only. It's called nominal Christians. I can say I'm a dentist. And I brush my teeth. I floss. But I'm not a dentist. We have a brother here who is. I can go to church. I can say this is my Bible. But if there hasn't been that transformation of my heart by God's Spirit, I'm a Christian in name only. But I can be a Christian because God extends the invitation to simply believe and receive Jesus as Lord. But he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, notice we do have sufferings in this present time, don't we? As Christians, he's writing to believers, but he says, I consider, I'm kind of logging this out here in the inventory book and in the ledger, I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Thank God. He contrasts our present sufferings. Yes, we suffer, but what we've got coming is no comparison to the glories that we're going to have forever in Christ. Doesn't that give you hope today? Thank God this is not for, it's not going to, I love that saying. I remember older, there were some older people saying it to me years ago. It's come to mean more to me now. It too shall come to pass. Thank God, it too, it might be rough right now, but it too shall come to pass. You might be hurting and you don't know which end is up right now, but it too shall come to pass. Not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Thank God if we know the Lord. And again, all creation has been damaged by sin. And even when we know the Lord, these bodies are still, they're flawed by sin. Jesus is a healer, but this body's not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I've got a new one coming. And you do too if you know the Lord. In fact, it says here in Romans 8:22, think about this, Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation, it's not just people, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. It's like all of creation has been so devastated that creation is just longing for that time when the Lord returns and births the fullness of his kingdom in his people. It says the creation is waiting for the glorious liberty of the children of God, because creation itself is going to be delivered when Jesus returns. So this is not heaven, but we get to experience a taste of heaven here if we know the Lord. But heaven is coming if we're in Christ. And I know that God wants us to live in hope, because he goes on, he says this in verse 24. He says that we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why would we still hope for what we see? Verse 25, I love this. But if we hope for what we do not see. Now, sometimes we can use the hope, like wish word hope, as wishful thinking. Like, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Are you a Christian? I hope so. And that's not how the scripture presents hope. He says, if we hope for what we do not see, notice, we eagerly wait. Would you say eagerly wait? It's looking forward to something. I've got something good coming, man. I've got future coming. I've got payday coming. I've got good that my Father has planned for me forever coming, and I'm eagerly waiting for that day. He says, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So it helps me when I live with hope to persevere through the dark times and through what I'm suffering and through the trials and the temptations and everything that come along with this life. So he wants us to live with hope. And it's in this process of restoration we know that all things work together for good. I've said it before, I'll emphasize it again. It does not say all things are good. It says we know that all things work together for good. And it doesn't say all things work together for good for everyone. It says we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And the ones who love God are the ones who have believed and experienced God's love for them. God loves everyone, but not everyone is walking in the benefits and blessing of it. But if we believe, then we can receive the fullness of the love of God. And so we love him, and we're called according to his purpose. Trust God for his purposes. Would you say that with me? Trust God for his purposes. Now, again, we can be honest about the reality of our situation, the gravity of our situation at times. But brothers and sisters, being honest does not mean we have to give in to just constant complaining, because we can drown there. And I'm going to tell you, I admit, sometimes that could be my initial tendency. Start complaining, and usually the Holy Spirit will bring it to my heart. Wait a minute. Hold on. And you know how I can usually tell? My joy diminishes. I can't complain and be in fullness of joy at the same time. So not to give in to constant complaining, or even as some, maybe some watching right now, have given up on God. Please don't give up on God. We need the Lord. Let's trust him to see us through. He is faithful. He will do his part. Let's just believe him and stay close to him. Trust God for his purposes. And then he says this in verse 31, because I really want to bring up the question and answer it of why trust God? If I'm asking people to trust God, then why? Why should you trust him? What basis do you have to put your trust, your confidence, your reliance in God? And I believe there are two powerful reasons, two important reasons, because he loves you and because he's powerful. Trust God because of his love and his power. If he didn't care about us, he would not have sacrificed his own son in our behalf so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. Think about that. There are many parents, I don't know if I know of any, who would sacrifice one of their own sons and daughters for someone else. But Jesus did that, and God the Father did that for us willingly because he loved us. And then some people can have the heart. I can say, I wish I could help you. I wish I could take that disease out of your body. I wish I could help you through that hard time, and I can pray for you, but I'm limited by human weakness. God is not limited. He's able. So he has the heart and he has the ability. Romans 8:31 says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thank God. I read this verse 34 in a different translation. I think we have it on the screen. It's called the Passion Translation. I'd like to read it to you. It says, who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one. That's what Christ means. For he gave his life for us. That's love. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. That's power. So how could he possibly condemn us since he's continually praying for our triumph? Thank God. Now, God is sovereign. That means he reigns, and we can trust him to fulfill his purposes. But you say, well, Brother Rocky, this person did that, and that person did that. I know it's not God's will, and I see all this evil in the world. How can you say trust God and everything is going on? Let's be careful not to blame the one who is not at fault. God is not at fault for all the evil we see in the world today. He did, and he is doing something about it to restore us back to his original intent and creation and heart. The reason we see all the evil in the world today, let's make no mistake about it, is because of sin, not the love of a heavenly Father. The wages of sin is death. And yes, God allows us a limited degree of freedom. But that's only within his overall purpose. Romans chapter 9, verse 17 says this. Romans 9, 17. God says of Pharaoh at the time that we read about in the book of Exodus, it says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, notice, this purpose I raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Let me ask you a question if you're familiar with the account. Did Pharaoh's decisions affect two entire people groups, the Hebrews and the Egyptians? Did Pharaoh's actions hurt many people? Did Pharaoh's actions cause the deaths of many people? Did Pharaoh stop God from fulfilling his promise to free his people. See what I'm saying? That, yes, a limited degree of freedom, but no human, no council, nobody, no thing, no one will overthrow the ultimate purposes of God. So I'm simply saying, let's just believe God. Let's trust God for his purposes to prevail. Three purposes of God right here in this text. Let me give them to you, and we'll just take a moment on each one. All right, I'll tell you what they are up front. Three purposes of God, because he says that all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So what are the purposes? Number one, God's purpose is salvation. Number two, God's purpose is transformation. And number three, God's purpose is glorification. Three purposes: salvation, transformation, and glorification. Thinking about, I personally like football. I know one of the ladies in here this morning was telling me she don't like football. She likes NASCAR, and that's cool too. But I'll just use the football illustration. In football, there is a field that's 100 yards long, it's so many yards wide, and it's marked off. There are boundaries there. And within those boundaries, the officials allow them to play. And I look at it like, you know, within life, God allows us to make certain, I can make the call, so to speak. I can call the play, and I can be in, you know, I can so forth. But God won't allow me to step out of the bounds to overthrow his overall purpose. I can step out of bounds. I can hurt myself, I can hurt other people, but I will not thwart the overall purpose of God. God's will prevail, and we can trust him to fulfill his purposes. Number one, God's purpose, salvation. Romans 8:28, again, I'll just read it. In fact, would you read it with me? Let's read off the screen here. We'll be on the same translation. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Let's read together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Again, those who love God are those who've experienced the love of God by faith in Jesus. See, God's Spirit convicts us of sin and draws us to the truth of who Jesus is, that he is the eternal, sinless Son of God. He literally suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. He literally arose from the grave, and he is seated right now at the Father's right hand in heaven, and he is able to save everyone who puts their trust in him as Lord. When that happens, a miracle takes place within our heart and spirit. We are forgiven, declared righteous, and God's Holy Spirit indwells us. Think about this. If you know the Lord, how did God order your steps? How did God orchestrate people and events to get the gospel to you? Some of us, maybe you were brought up in a Christian home and you heard, and one day you just responded to the Lord. Maybe some of us weren't, and we were out other places, and I know some of your testimonies, but God reached you where you were. His Holy Spirit drew you and orchestrated events to even ordain you to meet with certain people so that they could share the gospel with you. Maybe someone here today, maybe someone watching or listening right now, God's Spirit is drawing you. He wants all to be saved. I want to ask you, how have you responded? Is Jesus your Lord? Because that is God's purpose. The Bible says this, if you want to get this verse, write it down, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. It says that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according, notice, to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Trust God for his purposes. Would you say that with me? Trust God for his purposes. Salvation, transformation, glorification. So our purpose is God wants to save us, but then he wants to transform us, and he continually works in us once we are in Christ to conform us to the image of his Son. Notice what verse 29 says, Romans 8:29. For it's connected to those who love God according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. He made a destiny beforehand to be conformed to the image or the likeness of his Son, that his son Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. It is God's purpose for us to grow more like Christ, conforming us into his image. And the scripture says here in the context of prayer, all things working together, and he talks about prayer. In fact, verse 26, I'll go in if you want to look at it. Verse 26 says that God's Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not always know how to pray as we ought. We don't always know what to pray for. That's Romans 8, 26. He helps us in our weaknesses. For example, this is not a wrong prayer, but maybe some of us can relate. You've prayed, Lord, I just want a good day. Would you just give me a good day? Can any of you relate to that? Lord, I like you. I'm just ready for a good day. But see, our definition of good and God's definition of good may not be the same. See, my definition of good is I want a day of ease. I don't want any trouble. I don't want any conflict. I don't want any issues. I just want to coast for 24 hours. But God's definition of a good day may be that he has to allow circumstances into our lives that would lead us to grow closer to him and as a result, grow more like him. And God says, oh, you're closer to me, my son, my daughter. That's what I want. You're more like my son, Jesus. It's a good day. But we have to trust him, don't we? If we want to see the results. So, Lord, give me a good day. But if your definition of good for today is not mine, Lord, help me to just trust you. And it'll be all right. As long as you're with me, as long as you're working in me to make me more like Jesus, drawing me closer to you, it'll be all right when it's all said and done. Trust God for his purposes. Speaking of prayer, because in that verse, Romans 8, 26, it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For even when we don't know what to pray, it says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Notice it does not say he prays instead of us. We have a responsibility to pray, to bring in God's will. But he helps us in those moments when we're not completely lined up with God's will, and he will work it out according to the Father's heart and mind, because he knows what's in the Father's mind and heart, and he will interpret it, even if it's with groanings we cannot utter. So he says to trust him. And I was reading a prayer. I shared it one Wednesday recently with our group here worshiping and praying. There's a church in China called Latter Rain Church, and one of their elders, let me get his name for you. I think his last name is Lee. It's, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Yangquan Lee. He had his utilities and his internet service cut off last November at his home for streaming worship online. And his landlord was forced to evict him and his family, so they had nowhere to go. And he asked believers here in the United States to pray for him. But I want to read you what he wants us to pray. He says, ask Christians to pray that we in China depend on God when we lack, because apart from him, we have no good thing. He says, we pray that God makes us put our trust in him at this difficult time. He asks us to pray that the Holy Spirit fills us to respond to our situation with gentleness and respect. Wow. Oh, yeah, that sounds like typical American Christians' prayer for our leaders. Isn't that something? I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. To have that kind of heart when we're going through whatever it may be, to say, Lord, I want the relief like anyone else, believe me. Lord, take this relief, but if I've got to go through something, would you give me grace to be able to handle it and to go through it in a way that honors you? trust God for his purposes. There was a pastor, I had the opportunity to meet him on a couple of occasions in New York City where I've gone and taken mission trips over the years. God used this man powerfully. A little rural country preacher out in Pennsylvania, God called him to minister to gangs in New York City. And he went over there and God used him. His name was David Wilkerson. And I'm not exaggerating to say this. Millions of people have been affected for the Lord because of his ministry through a worldwide ministry called World Challenge. Still ministries going on around the world. Some of the poorest people on this planet ministering the gospel, seeing those who are bound by addiction and so forth set free. 10 years ago, he was killed in a car wreck. But in a message he shared years before he died, the message was called, "Don't Waste Your Afflictions." Don't waste your afflictions. I like to read part of that message. He said, "All your trials are intended to throw you into Jesus' arms, to cause you to say, 'I'm his and he is mine. He will bring me through this affliction.' There is only one way to endure your present troubles, by remembering that your heavenly Father delights in you. He has a plan at work, a great investment in you, a great investment in you, in you, in you, in you, in you. He has a great investment in you for his eternal purpose." Trust God for his purposes. In that message, he said, don't waste it. He says the good that can come out of it is going to depend on our response in it. If we're going to go through an affliction, let's not waste it. Let's use it for good to the glory of God. Trust God for his purposes. Would you say that with me? Trust God for his purposes. Salvation, transformation, glorification. Salvation, transformation, glorification. Let me read you this last one. The Bible says, Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom he predestined," that's the past, "these he also called, and whom he called, he also justified," that's the present, "and whom he justified," notice this, "he also glorified." See, to the one who is eternal, it's like it's already an accomplished fact that God already sees us in our glorified state. That's why he could inspire this author to say, "Hey, I know it's difficult right now, but these present sufferings aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that's coming." Brothers and sisters, that work of transformation and conformation into the likeness of Jesus will continue until we meet him face to face. But then we have the assurance. I was thinking about these words this morning where he says, "Beloved, loved ones, it is not yet..." Right now, we're children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. If we have that hope in the Lord, it affects in a very positive way how we live right now. The Lord wants us to live with hope. That's 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Trust God for his purposes. I want to read these last few verses of that chapter, and we're done. Trust God for his purposes. It's not ours. It's his purposes to prevail. God has the love and power to accomplish his will. Notice what the Bible says in verse 37. Let's finish up this chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. "Yet in," would you say in? All these things, what things? If we back up to verse 35, "Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Shall perish or peril? Shall sword?" No, in all these things, right in the middle of all of this mess, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. Huper nikao in the Greek. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God. He's able to work all things out for our good. Again, not everything is good, but he has the love and he has the power to accomplish his will. He simply wants us to trust him. I've been thinking about making a recipe. I haven't made it in a long time. I thought about going to buy the stuff this morning and doing it, but I didn't have confidence in myself that it was going to pan out. But I've made them before, and let me tell you some of the ingredients, all right? Spelt flour, 3 cups. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever eaten spelt flour, but I don't know of anyone, even those of us who have, who would say, man, 3 cups of spelt flour? That's just what I want. Give me a spoon. That was if I choked this stuff down. I don't know of anyone who just wants to pull that little can out of the cabinet or the cupboard and open up that non-aluminum bacon powder and take a spoon, you know, a little teaspoon and go ahead and choke some of that down. Maybe just a dash of the bacon soda. How many of you have ever used the toothpaste alternative? Can I see your hands? What? Y'all never brush your teeth with toothpaste, please. Or with the bacon soda. And even if you don't have a toothbrush, what do you use? Your finger. That's it. Boy, that's going back in the day, see? And my mom used to make them, and my grandmother used to make them using buttermilk. And I've never been a fan of buttermilk. And I found an alternative, full-fat plain yogurt. And even some of you might not like that. Some sea salt. But you know what? Even though you might not say, oh, I like that particular thing, that particular ingredient, but when it's all mixed together, if I get it right, it all works together for good. So the result is not that that one isolated ingredient is good, but when it's all mixed together, good. And the people who have tried it say they liked it. You see, we can look at stages and seasons and problems and circumstances that seem like forevers in our lives and no, that one thing maybe is not good, but when we get to the other side and we look back and we will see how the one who had all love and all power worked it all together for good in such a way where we say, that was so hard, that was difficult, I don't know how I made it through, but God's grace. And then when I look back on it, I say, yeah, good. My good and his glory. Thank you, Lord. I've got a little picture up here. I cut out one piece like a puzzle. I think we have it on, well, there you go, right there. It's on the screen if you can see that. For many, I don't know who could actually look at that and identify what the full picture is. But see, that represents our limited perspective. We can focus on one thing. That's why I said when we started, we're going through those seasons. It's so important to pause. Focus on Jesus and trust God for his purposes. Because when we're focusing on what we're going through right then, it's difficult. It can be so discouraging and disheartening. But if we can focus on Jesus, somehow when it's all put together, it'll come out and we will be conformed to the image of Jesus. Someone right now may be going through that difficult time in that season, and we will all have them. Maybe you're on a mountaintop. I hope you are. But there are times when we'll face those difficult circumstances and we're gonna have our battles and issues. And God loves you and he cares and he's with you. And I know that God can bring good out of it in time. And I know that he will work it out for his glory, but sometimes we just need that reminder, don't we? We need that encouragement when we're in it that God is gonna see us through. Help me, Lord, to trust you. Trust God for his purposes. I just want to pray this morning that wherever, maybe someone listening or streaming, maybe just even someone right here, and you would just say, Brother Rocky, I want to ask you to pray for me, because right now I'm in one of those seasons and I just want prayer. I believe in God. I know He loves me. I don't doubt His ability. But right now, everything in me and everything I sense is telling me the opposite. And I need His help to trust Him, trust God for His purposes, to work it in me, salvation, transformation, and glorification. Can we just go to the Lord in prayer right now? Father, I pray that You would draw us to Your heart and Your will. You are God, You are good, and You are able to do what You have said You will do. Help us to trust You, trust Your heart, trust Your truth, and trust Your power to accomplish Your will. Holy Spirit, we invite You to come right now and just minister to every need so that ultimately it's Your will that is accomplished for Your own glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand together?